Dealing with Depression from Selected Psalms. This is an exposition of Psalm 42. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, August the 15th, 2018.
It's the kind of thing that doesn't make any sense at all. Instead of celebrating, he was pouting. And that was out of context. It didn't make any sense. Instead of rejoicing, he wanted to be left alone. In fact, he wanted to just die. And this comes after a tremendous experience. Talking about Elijah, following that epic battle at Mount Carmel. You remember he entered into that battle with the prophets of Baal. And they were going to prove which God was the true and living God. And the prophets of Baal prayed and carried on all day long, and they couldn't get their God to answer by fire. Elijah, with a very simple prayer, prayed to the God of heaven, and fire came and consumed everything. It was a tremendous victory. And right on the heels of that, he went to a cave and just wanted to die. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you be pouting instead of praising? Why would you be depressed instead of rejoicing? Charles Haddon Spurgeon has been called the Prince of Preachers. He was the great Baptist preacher of the 19th century. He was known around the world. He spoke to thousands every week at the from the pulpit of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. His sermons were printed each week in newspapers throughout Britain, Europe, and the United States. He was, without a doubt, one of the most respected men in the world in his own day. And yet he wrote out his resignation every week. He suffered severe bouts of depression. I read a report as early as the mid-80s that said every other hospital bed is occupied by a mental patient, which makes me feel really good. Next time you're in the hospital, if it's not you, it's that other guy. But what they meant by that was their conditions brought on by some mental stress, some worry, some fear, some anxiety, or depression. It's a major issue. It's a great problem within our culture. Depression is a genuine condition, and some people need medication because there's chemical imbalance. Some people need counseling because they've been through some traumatic event. And if you need medication or if you need counseling, it's not a sign of weakness. It is not failure. It is not lack of faith. It's just recognizing sometimes you need help. Whether you have ever suffered severe depression or not, all of us suffer to one degree or another. How do we fight it? How do we rise above it? How do we live a victorious life? Well, we turn tonight to Psalm 42. It's the first psalm in Book 2, which is 42 through 72. We're told that it is a psalm by the sons of Korah. Now, they were the Levites who performed temple music. Of course, it was Korah that led that rebellion recorded in Numbers chapter 16. But later, his sons were given positions of great honor in the worship of God in the temple. James Boyce, in his commentary on this particular psalm, refers to it as an upward look by a downcast soul. And that is exactly what's happening. The psalmist, and we don't know who it is, he's not named, is suffering greatly. He is severely depressed, and he is dealing with his depression. It's important to recognize that depression is a problem even among the people of God. And that's important because so many think, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't suffer like that. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't go down that road because believing in Jesus, loving Jesus, should eliminate all your problems. Well, that's not true. In fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones, pastor at Westminster Chapel in London, wrote a book in 1965 entitled Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cures. He wrote that in 1965. It's still his most read and most purchased book. It struck a chord, and it still does. 1965, and yet it's still a bestseller today. You ever get depressed? You ever get down? You ever get blue? Now, if you say to me, no, I never sing the blues, that never happens to me, then I just have one question. What planet are you living on? Because you're not in touch with reality. All of us suffer from depression from time to time. Things happen. Bad things happen. Horrible things happen. People say terrible things. We lose jobs. We get demoted in jobs. Things happen and we naturally are depressed. So all of us at some time or another experience what the Puritans called the dark night of the soul. We have those periods where we're struggling. We believe. It's not that we don't believe God exists. And not that we don't think God cares. But we're struggling because we're in a fog. And we can't see clearly and we can't hear clearly. And we just need some help. As we work our way through Psalm 42, I think we're going to discover that the righteous fight through depression by focusing on God's goodness and His grace. It's not a matter that you're going to avoid it. This is not the kind of thing that you can stop. It's not the kind of thing that you're going to follow this magic formula. You're going to pray this specific prayer and you will never ever struggle with this. It's going to happen. So what do you do when it comes? What do you do when you're depressed? What do you do when things do get dark? What do you do when you've been through some traumatic event that causes you to be down in the dumps? How do you get out of it? We can't eliminate depression down here, but we can, by the grace of God, overcome. There are some insights in this psalm of just exactly how we do that. Two things I want to point out. First of all, even the righteous are prone to periods of doubt and depression. Even those who are genuinely righteous, those who genuinely love the Lord, those who read their Bible and pray, those who go to church, those who are serious about their faith, even godly, righteous people suffer bouts of doubt and depression. Sometimes we think depression only happens to those who are weak, but that's not true. We're all prone to it. Granted, some are more prone than others, but it's not the result of weakness, and it's not a lack of faith. As we walk through this psalm, I think the psalmist gives us at least five things that can bring about depression. These are common things that happen in our lives that cause us to experience doubt and frustration. They're not the only causes, but they are representative causes. First, in verses 1 and 2, change often leaves us with a sense of alienation, and that can lead to depression. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Again, we don't know the name of the composer. We're not sure who it is. We're not sure of the exact circumstance. We're not sure of what specifically is bothering him, but we do know he has this sense of alienation. The sense is, as you read through it, that he is far from Jerusalem. He's away from the temple. He's away from worship. And as such, he feels alienated from God. He feels cut off. Some have suggested that perhaps this is one of the captives on their way to Babylon. That maybe they wrote this as they were traveling east and they reached the Hermon mountain range and it was the last chance to view the familiar mountains of home. And maybe a sense of overwhelming alienation came across them because they so associated the temple with God and God's presence, and that worship took place in the temple. And so that thought of being removed, that gave this sense of isolation. It's not, again, that they think that God doesn't exist. It's not a matter that they don't believe that God is everywhere present. It's just, I feel alienated. I feel separated. I feel isolated. And so I'm depressed. And honestly, we'd have to say, rightfully so. Because if this is one of the music directors taken from the temple, he's lost his job. And so he not only is being taken away from home, but he's lost his job. He's had all these reasons that leave him with a sense of loneliness, of worthlessness and isolation. And that's why he cries out with this language, "Oh, how my soul pants for you," like a deer panting for water. Now, we sing that. We're familiar. It's one of the most familiar songs because of those opening two verses. But most of the time when we hear those words, we are not thinking depression. But the picture is a deer who's been fleeing and is exhausted and is panting to be revived. That's the image. And so this is where the psalmist is. He feels isolated. He feels alone. He feels cut off. And it's natural under those circumstances to be depressed. Now, honestly, this is one of the reasons why a homebound ministry is important. It's one of the reasons why it's important to keep touch with those who cannot come, those who feel isolated and alone, especially those who are shut in, those who aren't available or able to get out on their own. They feel isolated. They feel alienated. And you live in that circumstance, you begin to feel like maybe nobody cares, including God. And depression is a natural result of that. So one of the causes is a change that brings about a sense of isolation. Then in verses 3 and 10, the taunting of unbelievers can lead to depression. "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where's your God?'" So he feels isolated. He feels cut off from the worship of God and from the people of God gathered for worship. And then in addition to that, his enemies, his adversaries are saying, "Where's this God of yours?" Verse 10 repeats that. "As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God? Why doesn't your God intervene?'" If God is really there, if God really cares about you, why would he let you suffer like this? Why would he let this happen to you? Why wouldn't your God that you think so much of, why would he not intervene? A sense of alienation, a sense of being taunted by your enemies leads to depression. In verse 4, memories of better days. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." One of the things that leads to depression is the memory of the good old days, of the way things used to be, of the way things were before this event happened, before this traumatic thing came into my life, before this person died, before this sickness, before this broken relationship, whatever it is, I remember how good it was before that happened, and that can lead to depression. Now, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, the good old days are just the bad old days viewed from a selected memory. They're not as good as we remember them being. But the truth is, a memory is a great blessing and a curse. And dwelling on the good old days and how bad it is now in comparison to how it used to be can be a very depressing thing. So the psalmist is in bad shape. He's there because he feels it cut off. He can't go to the temple anymore. He's separated from it. His enemies are taunting him, saying, "Where is your God?" Then on top of that, he remembers how great church was, how wonderful worship was, how exciting it was together with the multitude, with the throng and great procession and singing and all of that glorious thing. His remembering of those times in worship in the temple were like a knife in his heart. Another thing are just overwhelming trials in verse 7. "Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Just to be hit over and over again with trials and troubles leads to depression. And we tend to think in those terms anyway, right? When something bad happens, it's like, well, what's next? You know, or somebody calls, you know, so-and-so died. You say, well, okay, that means there's two more coming. They always die in threes. We always think, because we really believe what Shakespeare said. Shakespeare said, sorrows seldom come as single soldiers. They come in battalions. When it rains, it pours. It just, when bad things start to happen, it just seems more and more. That's what he's describing. Breaker after breaker. Waterfall. Overwhelming sorrow, overwhelming heartache leads to depression. Or how about this one in verse 9? I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? In other words, another factor in depression is God not acting quickly enough. God, why haven't you done something? What are you waiting for? How long is it going to be? Don't give me the spiritual look as if you've never said that or you've never thought that. All of us in times of trial and trouble, when we're overwhelmed, get anxious and we wonder why God hasn't done something sooner. This is where the psalmist is. He is in great pain. He is in great heartache. Even our Lord from the cross cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? All of these things lead to depression. Some of us need to understand there is only one Savior and we're not Him, so we can't change it. Only God can change it. Okay, it's inevitable. These things are common things. We lose a job. We get separated. We have to move or someone moves away. We're separated and that alienation brings depression or people taunt or say things and that hurts us or offends us. Or we think about how things used to be and it's not that way anymore. Or we're overwhelmed because of things. Or we just have the sense that God is abandoned. All of us have those things. So depression, discouragement, heartache, doubt, confusion is inevitable. The question is, what do we do? When it comes, what do we do? That's the second thing I want to share. The righteous find deliverance in facing depression head on. What do? We don't ignore it. We don't deny it. We see it for what it is. We call it what it is. Now, some, of course, are going to deal with their depression by turning to drugs or alcohol. It's not my problem. I turn to ice cream and cookies. You know, I'm going to find something sweet and I'm going to bury my sorrows in something I enjoy to eat or whatever. But it doesn't help to deny. It doesn't help to try to push it off. We have to deal with it. So the first thing is that we need to take it in hand. We need to deal with it, recognize it for what it is, and respond to it. Look at verses 5 through 8. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All of your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love. And at night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Take it in hand and deal with it. He gave Himself a talking to. Soul, why are you downcast? So, why are you struggling? Why are you depressed? Why are you mourning? And that's pretty good advice. I'm a certified critical incident debriefer through the chaplaincy with the police department. And I know that what you do with someone who's been through a traumatic event is you sit down and talk with them. The vast majority of people who've had a traumatic event will be just fine. They have coping mechanisms built within. It's the way God made us. And as you talk it through, as you recognize this is what I'm feeling, this is why I feel that way, and it's understandable that I feel that way, now what do I do with that, and how do I move on? The vast majority are going to be fine. Some are going to need some counseling. Some may need some extra help. But the vast majority in most traumatic events, if they give themselves a talking to, if they honestly deal with, rather than suppress it, rather than push it down, is talk about it and get it out. You know what they found in studies about critical incident stress and post-traumatic stress disorder and all of that? It's not that it didn't happen in World War II, and it really just started happening in Vietnam. The difference was, if you served as a soldier in World War II, and your tour was over, they put you on a ship, and it took several days for you to get home, and what you did is sat around and talked. And you talked about the trauma, and you talked about what you'd been through. In Vietnam, when your tour was over, they took you and put you on a plane, you flew home, and then they turned you loose, and you're by yourself. We know police officers have more problems with this than firefighters do. What's the difference? A police officer finishes an event, he gets in his car by himself and he drives off. What do firefighters do? They all jump in the truck together and they drive back together and they have a meal together and they talk. It's not that they're doing psychological studies. They're just talking. They're just working through. The way we begin to deal with our depression is to recognize, I'm depressed. Why am I depressed? Soul, why are you depressed? Soul, why are you struggling? But I'm being honest about I am struggling. I'm being honest that I am depressed, that I am mad, that I am upset. It's good advice. And that's what the psalmist is calling for. Lloyd-Jones said, talking to ourselves rather than allowing circumstance to talk to us is the very essence of wisdom in this matter. So rather than me sitting quietly and just letting my thoughts go over and over that same event, over and over, and letting that event shape me, letting that event speak to me, I start speaking to me. And what do I speak? I speak the truth, I speak the word of God, and I respond scripturally. Take it in hand. The second thing is, force yourself to do what you ought to do. Look again at what he says. Why are you downcast, O soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my salvation and my God. He's forcing himself to do what he knows is right. Now here's the key. Whether he feels like it or not. It's not, here's what you need to do. You're depressed. You're discouraged. You're downcast. And understandably, because all this gone on, and now pray about it, and when you start feeling better, then praise the Lord. He said, no, while you're feeling rotten, while you're still depressed, you start praising. Because you start speaking the truth and doing what you know to do, even if you don't feel like it. If you need to exercise, does it do you any good to go ahead and exercise even if you don't want to? Or do you say, well, that workout didn't do me any good because my heart wasn't in it. Doing the right thing was beneficial. Doing the right thing, whether I ever felt like it or not, is productive, is strengthening, is working toward my overcoming. That's what the psalmist is doing. Why are you downcast, soul? You need to put your hope in Christ. You need to praise God. I will praise him. And then he reminded himself that joy is going to return. Notice how it ends. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. He's saying this isn't the end. Steve Brown used to use the expression, sometimes you just have to fake it till you make it. Sometimes you just need to do it even if I don't feel like it, because it's the right thing to do. In my depression, I don't want to sing praise. I want to sing the blues. In my discouragement, I want to wallow in it. But I need to praise God in the midst of it, that he's still on his throne, that he is still sovereign, that he still is working in all things for my good and his glory. Whether I can see that or not, whether or not I feel that, that's part of taking it in hand. That's part of speaking to it for what it is and rising above it. Depression's going to come, but you don't have to live under it. You, by the grace of God, can overcome. How? By recognizing it's part of life and then facing it head on. And fight through it by looking to the goodness and the grace of God.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.